Welcome to the Travel Pulse Podcast, your go-to listening for everything travel. Here are your Travel Pulse hosts, Eric Bowman and Dan Callahan.
And we are back with the Travel Pulse Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. You're hearing a bit of a different voice on here than you're used to hearing. This is not Mark Murphy. This is Dan Callahan. I work Travel Pulse alongside a co-host here, Eric Bowman.
Hey, Dan. Good to be on, man. Dan, the digital man. Don't sell yourself short there, bud.
Yeah, Dan, the digital man here. I work in the marketing business development side of things here at Travel Pulse. And Eric, what is it that you do?
I am the managing editor of TravelPulse.com. So if you go to TravelPulse.com and check out the content that's up on our website, I have a hand in most everything there. So,
Eric is the one that brings you all the news, content, everything you see on Travel Pulse here. And we are taking over the Travel Pulse podcast now. Don't know if you have heard, but the cat's out of the bag. Travel Alliance Media was acquired by North Star Travel Group back in the fall here in October, which means with Mark Murphy, former host of this podcast, sold the entire company. He was the 100% private owner of it. And Mark pretty much scooped up his office and rode his RV out to the sunset, and surprisingly left us some of the equipment here. And the last time I had talked to Mark a few weeks ago, he called and left on my office phone here, left me a nice voicemail in a very low, creepy voice saying, "You're going to pry that podcast equipment from my cold, dead hands," is what he said. But he left it on the desk here, and now we're using it because we're continuing the podcast because he built this up, and it's been quite successful, and a lot of people have been asking us about it. So Eric and I are delighted to bring this to you. We're going to shoot on doing these a couple times a month here, and we're going to be uploading them and engaging with everybody from here on out. So are you excited to bring this to the people again, Eric?
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely want to thank Mark for getting it established. But as you said, Dan, we did hear from some people, from some fans and some industry folks as well of, you know, when's the podcast coming back? So we are happy to be back. We're happy to be your new co-host. So we want to entertain you and we want to inform you. So we're going to talk what's trending in travel. We're going to hear from those in the industry, give tips and advice on travel, as well as share some top travel deals. So if you've had any feedback on the show or any questions you'd like to ask us to ask industry people, we definitely want to hear from you. We're fan friendly here. So you can email us at podcast@travelpulse.com.
Yeah, that email is wide open. If you want to shoot any of your thoughts, opinions, questions, comments, concerns, anything over to us, we'll gladly take those in. We know that Mark was very big on the incentivized reviews and other types of giveaways he would do on the podcast, which we will get back into the form of doing. I don't know. I mean, Eric and I aren't authors and don't have signed books or hats or things like that.
We do not have the Mark Murphy bankroll, which is okay, but yeah, when we get into 2020, we will explore further options on that. So you just have to listen and
yeah, and you know what I think would be a decent idea? Instead of giving away any of Mark's merchandise that he had on the travelforward.store website, I think without his own knowledge, we could just give away experiences with Mark Murphy. Like, you want to take a ride in his RV, I'll just give you his address and we'll send you to Florida. That would be great, and he'd be pleasantly surprised by that. I think he'd be on board.
Yeah, he would totally be splendid. I don't think he's quite fully retired yet, as some people in the RV game officially do. So who knows what is next for him. I'm sure he'll definitely be back on the travel scene or the entrepreneurial scene. He's a I don't know if he would be thrilled about you sending people to his address there.
Yeah, you know, we'll see what happens.
It would make for a funny clip for sure.
So, exactly.
Get that camera, Mark.
Yeah.
Get the camera ready, Mark.
Yeah,
the people are coming.
Yeah, so I guess a little bit about the acquisition. I mean, we're still going through the process of fully getting integrated with the North Star Travel Group. If you're not familiar, North Star owns who were once our competitors and now under the same family of brands as us. They own TravelWeekly.com. They own Travel Age West. Tons of different events, in-person forums, everything across the board. They run Cruise World, which Eric and I had the pleasure of attending last month down in Fort Lauderdale, which is going to be moving to Miami in 2020. So it's a big cruise event. They run tons of in-person events, things like that. And so we're glad to be blended in with them. So we'll see a lot of collaboration on that side. So definitely more going into 2020 as well. And I think Eric outlined here a very good plan for the podcast here. Again, we're wide open, fan-friendly email there. If you want to shoot anything over to us, we'll get some incentivized things going. And I think from here, we're just going to get right into the flow of what we want to talk about on here. Eric, since we're at the end of the year here, wants to talk about some of the top stories that have been talked about this year in travel and within the industry. Eric, take it away with some of the top stories you had.
Yeah, so on Travel Pulse, we're all about, you know, what's trending now. So as Dan mentioned, at end of the year time now, we want to look back and kind of do year end review. And I think one of the big major players here as far as what was trending year long was President Trump's travel impact. You saw it in multiple ways this year. First and foremost, it was the beginning of the year, if you can remember back as far as then, as it has been kind of a long year. But the government shutdown, it ended in January. Towards the end of January, actually, it meant around 800,000 people got to go back to work, which also meant the TSA lines weren't as hectic. So you had, while employees weren't getting paid there, a lot of them were calling in sick and creating a little bit of havoc at the airports and national parks also were getting less people attending. They were shut down. And that actually happened while we were at the New York Times Travel Show. Dan was leading a forum, I guess. What would you call it? You're up there talking.
I was on a panel.
Panel. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah, I was getting tons of emails and messages from my team that was happening. So I kind of had to dip out. I was there listening and showing support for Dan, the digital man, and kind of had to dip out a little early there to handle that crisis. But that was kind of the first thing that really jumped out at the beginning of the year. And then from there, as we kind of go on through on the calendar, the Boeing 737 MAX was grounded officially in March of 2019 after a few other countries first were on the decision to ground it. And then Trump jumped in on that after the horrific crash, the second time that the airline had crashed. And it turns out that after some investigations, several of the safety inspectors who developed the pilot training standards for the FAA were actually unqualified. So that was just horrific. The story just continued on throughout the year as far as delays and pushing back and everything. Southwest, United, and American Airlines all took the major hits there as the U.S. airlines that use the aircraft. And currently right now, it's not scheduled to return until March of 2020. So Dan, if it does come back in March of 2020, they have been pushing it back. We've written a lot of stories about when it got pushed back to October, then it got pushed back to December, then January, now March of 2020. Dan, I want to know, would you fly on it when it returns?
You know, that actually came up for me personally, that question of whether or not I would take that, because it goes right into the time of when I'm going on my honeymoon to Antigua. And flying out of Philadelphia, I have to go into Miami for a layover because there's no direct flights from Philly to Antigua. And the only plane that was going at the time for March when I was looking at from Miami to Antigua was the 737 MAX 8. So that question is like, do we book those flights now for March and kind of roll the dice of whether or not they're going to be back in the air by then? We were both on board, like, yeah, if they're back in the air, all the testing, all the different things that they have to go through is going to be figured out. It's going to be resolved. They have heavy amounts of FAA involvement, a bunch of other things like that. So I would have no problem taking it if they're back in the air and it's already gone through all the tests. I will be the lab rat for that experiment. But it actually turned out better for me and my fiance now that we're going to go up to JFK and we're just going to fly direct. It was way cheaper. It's only a little bit more out of the way than going to Philly. I mean, Philly, we're only 15 minutes from. So we're doing that instead of rolling the dice. If they get pushed back again, maybe, Eric, you can touch on that. If people have flights booked on flights like that, in my instance, in March, April, and it's on one of those planes, and the planes don't get put in the air by then, what happens to those flights? Have you guys covered that in any of the articles? Like, are they pretty much left hung out to dry?
No, the airlines will work with you and try to get you rescheduled on that. So at this point, I wouldn't roll the dice until it's a fit on a plane. If you see that, that's the plane that it's going to be. Like you said, I would try, like you did yourself, I would try to find alternatives just for now until that is officially cleared and good to be back up in the air. I wouldn't risk booking on that just to avoid any sort of headache on that. I also think it's just great that you're doing a direct flight because I am a huge fan of direct flights only and the connections and layovers. If you can avoid those, definitely do so.
And Eric has the privilege of being outside of one of the busiest, if not the busiest airport in the country, if not the world. I don't know. They set these records every year. And I see when you guys cover it outside of Atlanta. That's a good note to have in there as well. Eric is actually not based out of the same location. We're doing this podcast over the airwaves here. Technologically savvy millennials at the helm. Mark, as much as yes. Mark wanted to be a millennial, he is not. I think he was very technologically advanced for his older age. And now Eric and I are doing this from a West Hampton Travel Pulse headquarters and down to the managing editor's headquarters in Georgia. But I agree with you.
Yeah, it's actually not the official office. Is really my place of residence. It's just me and my wife and my dog and a baby on the way. So I am based in Georgia. We didn't mention that earlier, but
awesome. Yeah, that's great. And congrats on the baby coming your way. How's that going to affect your travel plans?
At the beginning of the year, our baby is due, a baby girl, which I'm really excited about, is due in January of 2020. So we'll be traveling anywhere for a little bit there. I will, I still have a talk to have. I will try to get to the Travis in February of this year, which if you're listening and familiar with the Travis, they are in February this year as opposed to the regular January. So my first, that might be my first trip post birth of the baby. But outside of that, it'll be just kind of no travel there for a little bit until I get a little more comfortable in terms of going out regularly on scheduled trips and everything. I think for 2019, I averaged I was traveling once a month, sometimes twice a month for work, for pleasure as well. So we're big travelers here.
Okay, awesome. Well, those were some of the top stories. I mean, you saw on your end. There's tons of stories, and obviously you're covering every single one there. We have limited time on here and keep people engaged in a podcast too. But if you have any other stories that you thought were some of the top or at least affected your business or that you talked a lot to clients about, if you're an agent or if you're just a traveler that likes to listen and travel stuff, what was some of the bigger stories that got you excited about travel, anything like that, shoot us over to that email. It's podcast@travelpulse.com. And I'll let you in on my side of things as well, of being able to see some of the traffic that comes into the site day in, day out. Some of the stories that we saw on our side that really caught a lot of traction from people all over the world. Number one actually happened in the very beginning part of the year in January into February, was with the opening of the Florida Keys first all-inclusive resort. That story, when it hit, it really hit. That blew up on Facebook. And shortly thereafter, and I know we had covered it and talked about it, they caught fire and they are now planning to reopen on December 19th. So it was a very big, big story. Florida Keys first all inclusive. I know there's obviously it's the first one down there, but there a lot of people were like, should we stay in the States to go to an all inclusive? Does it make more sense to go international to somewhere in the Caribbean, get a little more experience that way? So that definitely caught a lot of people's attention far and wide.
All inclusives are blowing up, man. They're huge. Like you said, the Caribbean is the premier spot for that. But to have more showing up in the States and especially in tropical destinations like the Florida Keys, there definitely drew a lot of interest. And we made sure to hit that in multiple ways. So like you said, it opens up December 19th. And if you are going to that, let us know. We would love to hear from you.
Yeah, awesome. And one of the other stories too, that this one wasn't just in a short time frame like the Florida Keys one. The Florida Keys one was probably over the course of a couple of weeks, got some traction outside of that. But consistently throughout the year, one of our slideshow pieces we put together, not only they go pretty far and wide there as well, but it was called the 30 Safest Places to Travel in 2019. And I'll mention a couple of the places in here. That were some of the safest for this year, Japan, Slovenia, Iceland. I know they They have a ton of tourism. Every time I open up Instagram, I swear somebody I know or that I follow is in Iceland. That's a hot destination right now, especially a good stopover on the way over to Europe if you're on the East Coast. I know they have a lot of over-tourism they have to handle there as well, but nonetheless, a very safe destination, as well as New Zealand. And obviously, this was put out well before a volcano erupted there yesterday, which I know there was some deaths and injuries and stuff. Obviously, a very smaller part of New Zealand on an island there. But overall, I think when we were talking about safety, this was more based on, do you think, like a crime type of stuff and not so much natural disasters, right, Eric?
Yeah, absolutely. It was solely focused on where can you go and feel safe. And that was the goal there. And we're going to have our 2020 list come out on January 1st of 2020. So be on the look for that. One destination that was also in the news a lot this year in terms of safety was the Dominican Republic. And that was definitely one of the more noteworthy stories of the year. The mainstream media just pretty much crushed the Dominican Republic over the recent deaths on the island in the summertime. And Dan, you were actually last month. So as the mainstream media spent the summer kind of ignoring facts and just harping on the death of a few of the travelers that were there, which the FBI toxicology reports later revealed that they were actually natural causes and it wasn't because of crazy spiked mini bars or anything like that. Dan, you were there last year. A month ago, I was there last year. I love the place. Tell us a little bit about your experience there and how safe you thought it was.
Absolutely. So yes, I was actually there for a forum that we put on that was sponsored by some big players in the industry, Apple Leisure Group and AM Resorts, part of the same brand there. They sponsored this and we did a whole week-long forum there. We stayed at the Hard Rock Punta Cana, visited so many resorts outside of there. We went over to Secrets Cap Cana. We went to Dreams La Mermana, saw a couple of Riu properties in between. They were all very big sponsors of this, obviously, with the Dominican and everything like you were just mentioning with mainstream media absolutely just decimating the destination. Everything we saw there was, it was as perfect as a trip could go. And I know a lot of people will come and say, well, that's because you're with the tourism board or you were with places that go, you know, above and beyond for like VIP guests like that. Or, you know, they definitely made sure that, but the average traveler wouldn't see something like that. And I wouldn't even say that's the case at all. I went there by myself. I met a couple of colleagues there who were coming from other parts of the country. There was nothing about me that stood out as a VIP. I had to wait in the same lines as everybody, go through the same security, get the same transports to the same hotels, talk to the same people by myself, and had absolutely no trouble. There is definitely a heightened measure of security by them being proactive, especially at the Hard Rock resorts, especially in and around. But I mean, everything there, I mean, the people are some of the nicest in the Caribbean that I've got to experience myself. Even when we went out on some excursions outside the properties, we were in some, buses and vans that every single traveler that goes on one of those is taking the same types of transportation as us. We're going out into the like the jungles there and the mountains, really high elevation where it's much cooler. We were down on the beaches, everywhere far in between on that island, and obviously not every single spot, but still everybody there was super nice to us the entire time. Didn't feel unsafe at all. We were with a good group of people, and I couldn't recommend it enough to people. And that was my first time there. And I'm glad to hear that their numbers are definitely bouncing back. And right now, obviously, and I'm going to talk about this later too, it's definitely one of the best values you can get in the Caribbean right now and for the foreseeable future too.
Absolutely. And a lot of people, you know, are worried about safety when they travel. And the Punta Cana hotels actually offered up a safety promise and signed a commitment to set a security of standards and safety guidelines under the Punta Cana promise, which we have up on travfacts.org. You can check that out. That was actually launched to hold media outlets accountable when the mainstream media was decimating the Dominican Republic and all that happened over the summer. We were able to launch travfacts.org. And that puts the real facts of travel is what we're aiming to do over there.
Awesome. And I think now, I mean, those were a lot of the things that we saw happen in 2019 as we come to the end of the year here. We might put out another episode before the end of the year. This was definitely trying to get out there, get out in front of things before we start fresh in January to give everyone an update of where we're at and where we're going with this podcast. The next segment we have coming up here, as we have on the line here, an expert travel agent who has been in the industry for many years, writes a lot of content for Travel Pulse as well, really knows their stuff. And this segment, I think, is going to be very good for both travel agents and travelers that are listening to this podcast, where we're going to bring on a travel agent every episode, whether it's a travel agent or maybe an industry executive or maybe one of our writers or somebody on the editorial team. Nonetheless, somebody from the travel industry that has a lot of insight and expertise to share with our listeners. So right now we're going to bring Tammy in here. Tammy Levent is on the line with us here. Eric, take it away.
Thanks, Dan. We are joined by Tammy Levent as our advice from an agent segment here. So Tammy, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're based, how long you've been in the industry, your day-to-day stuff.
Well, thank you, Eric. Thank you, Dan, for having me on. I've been in the industry for 30 years. I know, I don't look like 35, but anyway, so 30 years. And I started off as a brick and mortar, which is crazy. So never at home based. I wouldn't even know what that's like. I try to work from home and it doesn't work out for me. So I've always had an office location and we're a huge agency. We've done over $130 million in travel business. And 6 years ago, I also am the founder of TASK, the Travel Agent Success Kit, to train travel agents to build bigger brands and make more money and to be able to sell in today's world of travel, between the onlines and the competition and everything else that we have going on and how to compete with them. So that is my, I would say those are the two things that I do between Elite Travel and TASK. I keep busy with both of those, but we sell everything. We're a full service travel agency.
And you've been traveling for quite some time now. So I just want to know what advice as we enter now, as we get ready to enter into a new decade here, what advice would you give to travelers for 2020 and beyond?
The one thing that I would definitely advise is to use a travel agent. And I know a lot of people say, well, I do it on my own. And if they've been booking on their own at one time in their life or another, you know that they do not get the customer service that they need. That's one thing that I tell them, and to go with an agency that offers a price match guarantee. So this way you're not losing anything if you think that they're charging more, but you're getting the customer service to make sure that someone is there for them. And more than likely now, we're probably going to be less as travel agents in price than what you're used to paying online. If you notice that online have changed their model and they all now say price match guarantee. Why would you say that if you're supposed to be the lowest? We were always competing with them with that. So now that's what I really give as the number one advice to travelers is to definitely use a travel agency or to get quotes from a travel agency, getting the most customer service.
And Tammy, would you be able to touch on, I wanted to jump in with, I know a lot of travelers, a lot of people I talk to about agents is like, well, I have to pay more for agents anyway. And I know a lot of people saying, well, do you have to actually pay an agent or agents make money off commission? Would you be able to touch on that for travelers that don't know the inner workings of that and how that works? And
sure. Well, basically, a travel agency should not cost you anything. I know that there's a lot of agents out there that charge fees and planning fees. Personally, if they were going to plan something maybe more concierge level, I understand that. But if it's a basic trip and we're going to Cancun and this is the hotel, there's no reason to charge a planning fee because travel agents make their money and they make a percentage of commission off of the hotels and everything that they sell. So that's how we get paid. We get paid on the back end. So it doesn't, should not hinder you in your rate or the cost of using a travel agency at all, ever. If somebody says to you, I'm charging you a fee to plan a cruise or to plan a trip to Cancun, I say, hang up and call the next one that's not going to charge you a fee. If someone's going to charge you a fee because you have a 3-month vacation, which by the way, I'm planning on now, the back roads of Greece and it's entail time and consumption and everything else that I need to do. It's a little different. Definitely.
Gotcha. Okay, great.
Yeah, that's great insight. So I think a lot of people who might be listening that aren't using travel agents can take that to heart. So you, for those travel agents that are listening, Tammy writes the agent to agent column on Travel Pulse. So you can check that out, travelpulse.com, agent to agent. She provides tips and advice for all you agents and advisors out there. And Tammy, I want to know, how do you think travel agents have changed in the last decade? And what would be your advice you would give to agents and advisors on how to be successful in 2020?
Well, they've changed a lot because they have to comply with what other people were doing. So they had to step up their game. Do you know what I mean? They can't be sitting at home anymore waiting for the phone to ring because it's not working that way. I think that the right travel agent, the good travel agent is still going to learn. They have to be knowledgeable. That's one thing, because I think that we have more consumers that are more tech savvy. They're smarter. They're looking things up. So if somebody calls you and says, I want to go to Dubai, you better know something about Dubai. Whether you know it or not, you better Google it, search it, go on YouTube, do your due diligence, because consumers are smarter today. You know what I mean? So that would be the one number one advice, is know more than your client, or know everything about everything. It's something that I always talk about and speak about, because you do have to know more than your clients. Otherwise, your clients can do it on their own. They don't really need you. So that would be the number one advice, and education is key. And also look into the vendors that support you. And that's what I came up with TASK, and to train travel agents that it's not always what you think. It's not always the ones that are out there that are in your face. Look at other sources to be able to sell better, to be able to be do better quality of a product for your clients, and give your clients the experience. They want the experience. They don't want to just sit on a beach anymore. Those days are over. They'll go to that destination and sit on a beach, but 99% of the time they're going to ask, well, what else can I do besides sitting on the beach? You see what I'm saying? So I have a client now that wants to go from Montego Bay. They want to go to Kingston to Bob Marley's museum. And that's a long ride. That's a 3-hour day trip to go to Kingston, but that's what they want. And we're going to offer it and give it to them, because they don't want to just sit on the beach and drink. Even though it does sound really good. They want that experience and the fun of the travel. You know, they want to be able to come back and show up to the friends. Hey, I topped one that you did when you went to Jamaica. I hate to say it, but social media has totally made us that way right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's all about the Instagrammability of a destination. So there's like 500 million active users on Instagram and posting an average of 85 million photos a day. So you get a lot of the millennials and millennials and especially Gen Z now too, very, very tech savvy and social media savvy. So they see it and they want to go to it. So,
And if you could do one more than your friend did, that's even better. So if you went to the Bob Marley in Kingston, that friend has to top that. You know, maybe they went by boat, because it has to top what you've already done. I see a lot of that competitiveness, you know, on social media.
Yeah. It's all about like really how you can, you know, one up everybody and who did the thing that got more likes and more views. Yep. And, it's really what that's all comes down to now. So do you find yourself offering, or like even working with clients on more, I wouldn't say exotic, but, destinations somebody hasn't really heard of? I've heard some people say they want to go somewhere because it's like, oh, I've seen enough people go to, a beach in Jamaica or somewhere in Cancun. I want to go to that place that no one has ever heard of before. Have you been
seeing
that?
I'm still laughing. I laugh what you just said, because you said you want to go somewhere that no one has ever been. When people ask me, Tammy, what's your favorite place to go? Check the one I haven't been to, because I've already seen the other ones. I want to go somewhere else that I haven't been to.
It's a good way to put it.
But yeah, we get exotics like this one now that I'm doing for Greece. Like, it's stupid. I'm Greek and I still have to look everything up. And I go, they want the impossible. Like, they want to go river rafting in Greece. Like, I don't even know where I'm going to find that. You know what I mean? I am exploring and I'm looking into this. So, yeah,
okay. That's awesome.
It's challenging, but to keep up and be there, man. Answer your phone. That's one thing that I find. They don't answer their phone. You don't answer the phone, you're not going to get the sales, right? You got to be there for your clients.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Indeed. Well, thanks, Tammy. We really appreciate you having you on here. And tell travelers where they can find you again. Anyone who's listening.
Travelers can find me at elitetravelgroup.net. We're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we offer a price match guarantee. We're like an online, but we have customer service. There you go.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, Tammy. We really appreciate it.
Great being here. Thank you.
And now to close out the episode here, I think it'd be good if we talked about some of our top travel moments that we had this year, what we're looking forward to do in 2020 as well. Whether that be some trends or just some things you want to do. I think for me, as I was talking about earlier, I think the top thing is it was one of the biggest news stories of the year was what was happening in the Dominican Republic. Obviously, I was lucky enough to be able to go there, be on the ground there for a week, see a good chunk of the resort areas, touristy areas there, as well as the non-touristy areas. It was great to be able to go there, be a part of a forum that we put on with some of the big players, not just there, but in the travel industry in general, and be able to flip the script on that with some of the top selling travel agents in the Caribbean and the DR. We put so much video and social content out about that. It was really great to see all those things come together, really flip the script. And now their numbers are slowly back on the rise. I think it's just a part of the news cycle that happens where that was the hot button. People are just going out there, especially mainstream ones. They need clicks now more than ever. And when they're putting stuff out there that is very controversial, that's what's getting people's attention. That's what gets them the impressions and stuff on their different sites. And they obviously have to embellish a little bit or kind of over exaggerate or take some things way out of context, which would happen there. But it was awesome just being able to go there for the first time in the midst of all that and be able to turn it around. What I'm looking forward to in 2020, obviously I'm looking forward to, as I mentioned as well before, going to Antigua for the first time, being able to see one of Elite Island Resort's new properties, the Hammock Cove Resort and Spa, which is in Antigua. They have a number of different properties across the Caribbean. That's one of the ones that just opened up December 1st of this year. I'll be there in March. And also, while I'm talking about the honeymoon, I know I talked to this on a podcast. Mark had me on back when he was still doing it last year, was talking about value in the Canary Islands. And I actually proposed in the Canary Islands. And that's still probably my all-time favorite place that I've gone ever, specifically in Tenerife, island there in the Canaries. And that place is so, it's very similar to Hawaii as far as the like climate and being like kind of a volcanic set of islands and 75, 80 degree sunny weather all year round type of thing. And the amount of adventure, food, drinks, all different types of stuff like that you can do there. What I'm hoping for in 2020 is that they finally get a direct flight from the US. They didn't have a direct flight there for a long time. And they don't now, and they're looking, and there's been talks about getting a direct flight, possibly out of JFK or the New York area. That would be great for that destination, just because if they finally get a direct flight there, they're going to get way more U.S. traction. It's pretty much unheard of to so many U.S. travelers, and I would love to see that blow up once again, because it's a great value. Everything there is really cheap. A lot of the, other than the flight getting there, there's so much to do. And right now it's a lot of European tourists, and, if they get more US tourists, I think that would be an awesome value for so many people to go to, especially from the East Coast. If you can't get out to Hawaii, it's such a long, expensive trip. Canary Islands are, pretty amazing. So I would love to see that, their tourism numbers from the US go up in 2020. How about on your side, Eric?
Yeah, for 2019, as I mentioned earlier, I probably traveled about once a month, maybe twice a month on a couple occasions for work and for pleasure. One destination that really jumped out and that I was so happy that I was able to experience was Cuba. I took a cruise to Cuba with Norwegian Cruise Line. You can't really do that anymore right now, as the Trump administration kind of dealt a big blow over to Cuba over the summer. With the elimination of the people-to-people exchanges, you can still visit Cuba. It's just not as easy as it once was. So cruise lines is out. So you do have to fly there. And you can actually now fly free to Cuba with Insight Cuba. We have an article up on that on Travel Pulse. You should look further into before the end of the year if you are thinking about going to Cuba in 2020. It's still possible. It's doable. The people there really need people to the locals there need people to travel there. So if you can, find a way to fly into Havana and enjoy that. I also visited the Pacific Northwest for the first time in 2019. So Portland and Seattle, had a great time. If you love food and you're big on food and wine, I cannot recommend Portland enough. I ate my weight times two there probably. It was a smorgasbord of delicious treats all along the way. So I really loved that. And I also got to be fortunate enough to go to the Hard Rock Los Cabos grand opening in October, at the end of October, which was a phenomenal event. brand new resort. So if you are worried about safety or anything like that, Los Cabos, not an issue. Go to Los Cabos. It's an area that is definitely trending and blowing up big. And if you want to stay at a brand new spot, Hard Rock Los Cabos is where it's at. For 2020, I am looking forward to traveling, you know, as a dad, and bringing a baby and all the experiences that happen on a plane with a baby. So I'm going to be that dad, and I'm going to apologize now to anyone listening that I happen to be on a plane with at all in 2020. I'm probably going to be that dad. So tough cookie. That's the way it is. I'm looking forward to that. And I guess a travel resolution that I'm looking to do more in 2020 is kind of reduce the plastic use from my travel, and hopefully be an advocate to reduce that for others as well. So I love the earth that we're on. I love visiting new places. So I definitely want to keep this earth in a good place.
That's all good stuff there. I think those are some good stuff to look forward to, especially some great experiences in 2019 as well, and some even better ones coming up in 2020 there for you. And hopefully we're the goal of this podcast would be to help enhance those types of experiences for everybody listening, whether it's an agent or a traveler. Agents can pass this stuff on to their clients, and travelers, you can just go out and do it yourselves or go through your trusted travel agent. But yeah, this is a pretty good example of what you can expect from the podcast going forward. We're definitely going to get in a good groove here and pump out the episodes as much as we can, but we're wide open to feedback, as we mentioned earlier. The email, if you want to shoot us a message, is podcast@travelpulse.com. Wide open to any questions, comments, concerns that you may have. If you want us to pass something along to anybody in the industry or get some insights or questions about stuff, we'd be glad to try and navigate that. Also, leave a review. Let us know what you think of how we're doing on here. And we're wide across the any of the different platforms you like to listen to podcasts on, whether it's Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, whatever you got, we're on there. And yeah, we hope to see you in 2020. So thanks for tuning in.